I was screaming into the canyon at the moment of my death. The echo I created outlasted my last breath. My voice, it made an avalanche and buried a man I never knew. And when he died, his widow bride met your daddy and they made you. I have only one thing to do, and that's be the way that I am and then sink back into the ocean. I have only one thing to do, and that's be the way that I am and then sink back into the ocean. I have only one thing to do, and that's be the way that I am and then sink back into the ocean.
Welcome to episode 275 of After the Credits. I'm your co-host, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, not a rock star.
Soon to be.
Bon vivant at large, Dale.
I love it.
Nice.
I love it. I love it. Welcome to the Littlest Hobo Media Spew for November.
Sure.
Yep.
I didn't even have to think about that. I just knew it.
Excellent.
I know, right? Some days, man. Some days.
Some days are better than
you're
those.
On fire. He says in the most monotone voice ever.
On fire.
You're on fire.
There's one of the Thicket songs. The lyrics is, I'm on fire. Do, 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 do. I'm on fire. Do, 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 do. I'm quite literally on fire. Just like so. I'm on fire.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
It's a good song.
Is the song called I'm on fire?
No, it's called Kill the Chupacabra.
Okay, I'm writing this down for reasons.
Would the Chupacabra ever do to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can't listen to the whole album, but there's a couple songs because they were released previously. I can listen to Shog Us Away and Kill the Chupacabra because they were previously on other ways to listen to it. But I'm saving the rest of the album for when someone in my family, like one of my parents, dies, and then I'll be so depressed and so terrible.
I'll
have
uplift.
That to lean on. So yeah, I know it's weird.
Are you really planning this ahead?
I am. Worried. Plus, it really annoys certain ones of my friends. It's like, what do you mean? It's been 3 years. I know.
Ah, okay.
My parents have to die. I'm really conflicted.
Well, you know, I'm just not thinking about it. If I don't think about it, it won't happen. Right?
Yeah, same here.
Well, my mom's been in and out of the hospital over the last like couple months, nonstop. It's brutal. Mm. Heart condition, the beating fast. What is that?
I have no idea.
It's not angina. It is something.
Okay.
So, anyways,
yeah, getting old sucks. Irrelevant.
It does.
Yes, it does.
Well, but let's talk about hopefully good things.
I have a few good things.
Yeah.
Stuff I've enjoyed.
Movies. All movies. Right. We talk about movies.
You guys can talk about movies.
Okay. Marina, brace yourself.
Oh.
I watched not one.
What?
I watched two Fast and Furious movies.
What?
I did.
Okay, is one of them Tokyo Drift?
No.
Fuck you.
In your face.
I do this movie night with a friend, and it's he brings over three movies, so I'm somewhat but we watched Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, okay.
And so he had Fast and Furious 7.
Okay.
So I have now seen Hobbs and Shaw.
Which I still haven't
seen. Yeah, I have seen Fast and Furious 7.
Dude, the only movies in that franchise that count are the first, like...
I don't know if he has that one on DVD.
Okay, I will lend you
that. I mean, we...
I will lend you...
The first one streaming.
The important ones.
But,
after 5, they're all downhill.
I think I enjoyed 7, actually.
Yeah, it was the one where they
because
have,
you haven't seen 1, okay. 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
Which is the one that has the bank vaults being towed through town?
I think
town.
That's 5.
Okay, that's where it ended for me. Yeah. I cannot watch that.
I mean, I think that's 5.
And they're batshit crazy, but we totally enjoyed ourselves.
Oh, yeah,
so.
For sure.
And I mean, yeah, Hobbs and Shaw. We had to watch at least one of the previous movies because we knew there was this history with Hobbs and Shaw. So that's where he dug up.
And that
7.
Only and then that only really comes into play in the last like either one or two movies. So you know that makes sense. But really, like for me, 2. I've come around a little bit more on 2, but it's still not.
But I do.
But 1 and 3 for sure.
Tokyo Drift
is the shiznick.
I definitely have to see.
It's the fucking shiznick.
I will buggy in.
So good.
The worst movie I saw maybe this year even. It was a TV movie from like 1999 called Net Force.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's Scott Bakula.
You said 1999, and I'm like, oh, is it something?
No.
Scott Bakula.
Playing an FBI investigator, like the internet. Hollywood was still trying to figure out the internet.
Come on. He was dreaming, was he not? Come on.
No.
Come on. Yeah, he was.
Maybe Quantum Leap.
Yeah, for sure.
Even Quantum Leap, I would not classify him as dreamy.
Totally dreamy.
He's good looking and all totally that. Dreamy. And all that, but dreamy?
Oh, he had the hair.
Don't look at me.
Dreamy?
Yeah, totally.
Dreamy?
Yeah,
totally. All right.
So the other movies, I don't know if you've ever heard of The Crimson Rivers, done in 2000, Jean Reno. It's a French.
No.
With
I know Jean Reno, but I don't know.
It is really fun. It's basically a police procedural, but it is set in this kind of gothic French ski town in the middle of nowhere, and there's like a possible supernatural connection. Just a crazy kind of story. It was fun.
What's this called?
The Crimson River. Oh. And it had a sequel
with Jean Reno. Did you watch both of them?
And Crimson Rivers 2, Angels of the Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. That title is killer.
It involved the Maginot Line in present day. Oh, my God. Like, that's it's awesome. Just, they were fun. They were just that's fun. Awesome. Police procedurals. He's a police detective. There's just this kind of crazy ass mystery. It's shot in France, so it has like a different sensibility that kind of works, and just the subject matter, and there's Nazis and, you know, Maginot Line. So, yeah, if you get in 2000, 2004, so not that old, but not super new.
They're fun.
I got a real kick out of them.
Okay.
And the last movie, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
And was it fun?
It was so much fun.
Okay, good.
It was... It's what you really want out of a kid's movie as an adult. Like, there was lots of like really smart kinds of nods and things, and just kind of crazy stuff that was. And Pena, he's not on there a lot, but he was super fun. Just the whole like we were not taking ourselves too seriously. We're doing some homage to the original source material we came from. Like, we're not forgetting our roots.
Yeah.
So from what I know of the kids' cartoon, they were kind of staying true to that.
Boots.
And yeah.
The
main character, I can't remember her name now. Brilliant casting. Like, she was just so, had the energy of the cartoon character, but still like not super annoying that you get when people are that energetic.
Yeah.
So I kind of enjoyed the hell out of it.
I'm kind of hoping to see that one with my niece, because I think she was a big fan of Dora.
There's just like one, oh, look at this. It's a toxic tree toad.
I love it.
Hello, poisonous frog.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
And yeah, those were my movies.
So I watched a couple. Hold on. As I bring up my list, because I just realized I forgot one that I kind of want to mention.
You're doing yours, I do have one I remember.
Go for it.
I rewatched for the umpteenth million time, Hot Fuzz. And yeah. All I can say is, that constable, look at his arse. I love that film.
I love it. I love it.
And then later on, Constable Angel, look at his horse.
Oh, God. That's funny.
I didn't know he had a horse. Was it a mounted division? No one tells me nothing.
Okay, so I watched a couple. I've seen more, but they're not really worth mentioning. But there's a few. Let's talk about
it. I've seen a couple that I don't need to be completist on.
Did I talk about The Irishman last time? I might have.
No, I don't. We talked about it, but I don't think you'd seen it.
Okay, so I have seen it. I had a chance to see it theatrically.
Because we were talking about Scorsese basically being an ass.
Okay, so yeah, I did see The Irishman on the big screen, which... Surprisingly, I really like, I say surprisingly because it's really long and I wasn't sure I was going to have a chance to see it on the big screen. And I thought, well, it's a movie about a bunch of mobsters. Do I really need to see that on the big screen? I think it plays really, really well. Like, it's really well made. And I think there is something to seeing a movie like that with a group of people in a dark cinema. It works really, really well. The performances are awesome. Joe Pesci, where has he gone? Because he's so good. He's so good. And this is now on Netflix, so no excuse not to see it. And my only complaint was I hadn't planned ahead. I was really hungry by the time that movie was done. Like, I could have eaten my arm. Like, an hour and a half in, and I was like, my stomach was making noises. I'm like, okay, I feel weird. But it's highly recommended. Very good. I also had a chance to see this weird little Russian documentary called Immortal. It's basically like not really a full movie. It's only like 60 some odd minutes long. Really interesting. It's about a gulag, like it used to be a town that used to be a gulag. And then when Russia was liberated, or the USSR, I guess at the time, was liberated, everybody there was liberated, but most of the people never left. And so like they live this, it looks like a miserable existence in this place that's so cold and so remote. And it's one of these observational documentaries. So they don't actually talk to anyone directly. The camera just kind of follows people around. And it's just so interesting. Like when it started, I thought, ooh, this is really interesting. And then it starts, you know, like, oh, there's just a lot of, you know, snow and cold and people doing weird things. And I was just mesmerized. I couldn't look away. Like I had not planned on watching the entire thing in one sitting, and I did. Like I was like so engrossed in this little Russian documentary, which if you have a chance to see it, I highly recommend. It's really good.
What's it called?
Immortal. I watched, the reason I haven't watched a whole lot of stuff is because I committed 16 hours to Ken Burns. I watched all 16 hours of Country Music, which aired on PBS in 8 2-hour episodes, but apparently is one movie, according to Ken Burns. I highly recommend it. I was like, I was watching these back to back, like 2 or 3 episodes at a time. So I think I watched it in like 4 sittings. The most I watched, I think, was like 6 hours, because I watched 3 episodes at once. And there's like 2 hours, no commercials. Like it starts and it ends and you've been sitting for 2 hours. So good. So good.
Crazy.
Sounds like something for the Cinematheque to try.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
do a marathon with a couple country western acts in between the intermission.
Crazy. But it was really good. Like, it's a really interesting, like, I've never been like a huge country music fan. I just generally like music in general. So, I mean, it's like I don't listen to any country music, but I'm not a connoisseur by any means. I really, really enjoyed it because, I mean, it's Ken Burns, right? So it's not just about country music. It's about the people and the history. So it's like you get a bit of like a history of America and like, you know, turn of the century. And then it follows right through to like the like 90s, early 90s, when country music just kind of took off and was everywhere. And country music is really having like a moment. Right? Like there's the Ken Burns documentary, Dolly Parton is fucking everywhere. Like it's really having a moment. I found it super engaging and really interesting. And I went searching for the 5-disc release of the soundtrack because I needed all the music. Thank you, Spotify. That's all I gotta say. I saw American Woman, which is Jake Scott's new film. I think he is somehow related to Sir Ridley Scott. I don't know if he's son or a cousin or a nephew. I have no idea. Really well known, like music video director, especially in the 90s. He did some like seminal music videos. The one I can think of, there were the two REM ones, Losing My Religion, and I can't remember what the other
one was. Is that the one where they're walking down the road?
The cars. Yeah, that one. So this stars Sienna Miller and Christina Hendricks and Aaron Paul. And Sienna Miller plays, it tracks like her life over a period of probably like 15 years. Like it's a long period. And she physically doesn't change much. They don't age her like that. But it follows this woman played by Sienna Miller, who has a daughter who's like 18, who has a baby son, and they're living together. Her sister lives across the street. Her sister is played by Christina Hendricks. So they're like a tight-knit family with all of their warts and problems and whatever else. And she's like dating because, you know, she had her daughter really young, but they obviously, it's like, the thing I like the most about this movie is the fact that like it gets at all the like that weird idiosyncratic things in families. So the basic drama is the daughter disappears, leaving the baby for grandma to take care of, and they're sure that she's been taken. And everybody's like, well, no, she probably ran away. And it follows basically Sienna Miller over the period of like 15 years until it finally gets resolved to what happened to her daughter. It's really, really good. Like, really, really good. But I think that what really, like, Sienna Miller's always kind of been like this interesting actress, and sometimes with the right material, she can be really great, and most of the time she's just like flat. This is like perfect for her. She like all of the emotions, and she's fantastic. And I really, really like this movie. I hope people have a chance to see it because it's quite good. Also had a chance to see Knives Out, Rian Johnson's new film with all of Hollywood. See this one. It's a whodunit. I don't know. I thought it was fun, but
that's all I'm expecting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if it's like the latest, greatest thing, but I mean, if you like those types of movies, Rian Johnson does them really well. Like, it's his thing, his cup of tea, and it's really intensive on the dialogue and very Agatha Christie, and it's just a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Hala, which is Apple Plus film. I don't know when this drops on Apple Plus, but it's about a young Muslim woman who, like a teenager, who's just kind of like having issues with her parents who are very conservative. Really, really good. Great coming of age story. Really interesting, like the way that the filmmaker, who I'm assuming probably has this in her life, the way she captures like the family dynamic of immigrant families, like I could totally relate, like completely 100% relate, and it was really awkward at times. Really recommend it. I quite enjoyed it. Neil Jordan's Greta with Isabelle Huppert and Chloe Grace Moretz, where Huppert is leaving bags on the subway for young girls to find and then like drives them crazy. It's super stupid, really. It's like the most ridiculous premise ever. She basically like is trying to attract young women to replace her daughter, and then she becomes completely obsessed and like a crazy woman. And Huppert is just having so much fun, and it is really, really fun. Really, really fun. I quite enjoyed it. Mid-90s, which is Jonah Hill's directorial debut from like 2 years ago. I do not know why I finally watched this, but I did.
That's the skateboarding one?
Yeah, it's a skateboarding one. It's really good. Like, it's really well made. It's really interesting. I can totally relate to the time period because I'm familiar with it. It's a really like good. It's a really good directorial debut. Like, super solid. I'd watch his next movie, hands down. Brittany Runs a Marathon, which I thought looked really stupid. The one about the woman who goes to the doctor and is told that basically she needs to lose weight. So she starts running and she decides she's going to run the marathon. In the trailer, it kind of looked like maybe this was like one of these like fat shaming things, but then it looked like it could be not that. It's not that. It's actually really interesting. And I really, really enjoyed it. Mm. I thought it was a very, very nice like story. And it's based on like the real life of a woman. I think it's on Amazon. It is an Amazon movie. I think it might already be streaming. And then I went to see Frozen 2. And it's Frozen. So, you know, there's that. It's beautiful. And Kristoff has the best dance, the best song in the entire movie. It's shot like an 80s, a super cheesy 80s music video. And is legit the fucking greatest thing ever. And all of the adults were laughing their heads off and the kids were clueless. Like, legit, like the guy beside me was losing his shit. I looked at him like, yeah. It was so funny. Like, it just starts as a regular musical number and then it just morphs. And you're like, did that really just... This is, oh my God, this is happening. It's so good. Like, somebody needs to YouTube that, just that one section, and I'd be so happy. It makes me happy with tears. But it's just, you know, it is what it is. And then when I was setting up my Christmas decorations, because It like spewed Christmas at my house. I decided I was going to watch really silly Christmas movies. So I turned on Netflix because that's what you do. Because I couldn't be bothered to find the Hallmark channel on my television and land in the middle of a movie. I'm like, I'll start one from the beginning. So I watched a couple, but the one I really liked was Let It Snow, which stars, I had to write down her name because I can never remember it. Kiernan Shipka, girl from
The
Adventures of Sabrina.
I watched that too.
Oh, yeah, see?
The Waffle House.
Yeah, the Waffle
House. Do you know the girl that was... involved with the singer guy yeah. Dora.
Oh really?
That's
oh, okay.
The actress that played Dora.
Okay. I quite literally watched this movie because of Kiernan, because I really really like her, and it was totally worth it. I mean, it's super silly and it's ridiculous, but it's charming and whatever. It's a made for TV Christmas movie. What do you expect?
I watched that, and it, like you said, it's exactly what you said, and I wasn't expecting a whole lot more, but I was kind of left with, oh, and Joan Cusack was kind of
fun.
Oh,
yeah, she was fun.
I was kind of left with, like, this cast was really good. Like, yeah. This could have been...
So much better.
So much better.
It is what it is.
But it was yeah, just exactly like you say, some kind of nice background Christmas, happy ending.
I watched A Night Before Christmas. The one about the knight that gets transported to modern day.
Oh, I don't think I've seen
that one. The young actress from that used to be on the High School Musical, whose name I cannot remember. It's not as good. Okay. Even though it legit has a guy in a knight's costume, yep. And a horse and a sword.
And the horse he rode in on, yeah.
Yeah, literally. It's still not as good as Let It Snow. So there's that. And that's it.
All right.
I know. I classed this joint up big time.
All right.
You know, the crazy thing about Let It Snow, too, it like, I couldn't... There was an actress that was a dead ringer for the woman from that 70s show who played the...
Oh, yes.
Bob's wife?
No.
No. The actress who's married to... oh my God, my mind has just gone totally blank.
I can't even remember the names.
Dark hair.
Yeah.
Big eyes. Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis. Oh.
And it was all in the eyes because my sister walked in. She's like, is that Mila Kunis' sister? I'm like, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
And there was another actor who looked like Alison Pill.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was weird.
That was actually one of the moments in the, like, her whole thing, the acting was really solid. I thought the material was a little bit weak. And I'm like, oh, this could have been so much better. Anyway.
We've already talked about this movie.
Moving on, yeah.
TV?
I have Netflix TV.
Yes.
All right. So I watched season 3 of The Crown.
Me too.
I have not seen it yet.
I very much enjoyed it. High production values. They make Charles look sympathetic. And I'm actually down with that because I've always liked Charles, which is weird. I know I'm a one percenter that way. So.
No, I saw a picture of him and Camilla the other day and I was like, they legit look happy.
I always felt sorry for him because it must be shit because she was going to outlive him by, like, I always thought Elizabeth was probably going to outlive him and he was never going to get a shot. So
I never knew what to think of Charles. Certainly based on the previous two episodes.
He's a surplus.
And this...
He's a necessity yet surplus to needs. It's like, what a fucking way to live your life.
If that show has any truth, you never know with some of these. But yeah, I have more sympathy for him than I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He's still a royal, so he's still a jackass a-hole. But out of all the
who
jackass
cheated on
a-hole,
his wife for a long period of time?
Hey, let's not start pointing fingers because I think that might have started on the other side very fast too. Right. Like,
I can go with that.
It was a bad situation all around. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the thing that struck me was in the first episode, I'm watching it going, the person who's playing the queen is like going, who is it? Is it Hot Fuzz? She is PC, the female PC Doris. Who doesn't like a little get-along girl? Come on. As soon as it clicked, I cannot watch it without seeing her as PC Doris. And it's like, God damn it. So to cleanse my palate of all the good feelings for royals. I then watched season one and two of The Windsors, which is also on Netflix, which is basically a satire of the entire royal family, with the exception of the Queen and Prince Philip. They're never shown in the entire series. It's always Charles and Down. Although every once in a while, Prince Philip sends basically a version of like a telegram and basically rips them all a new hole for being stupid and pointless. I enjoyed that quite much. And the only other thing I have to bring up is on Adult Swim, there's a show called Mr. Pickles. It's about a dog who... I think they're alluding to him as actually being Satan. It's like serial killing and like...
It is Adult Swim. I'm not surprised.
It is a pretty fantastic. I freaking love Mr. Pickles.
I have been watching the final season of Rick and Morty, and I know nothing about Rick and Morty, so it's been weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the pooping place is fucking genius.
Oh, that was one of the best. I know everyone goes on about Pickle Rick, which was in... I
don't know. The pooping place has got me one. I was like, this is genius.
Oh, it's absolutely true. Like, who doesn't want their own private, mythical sort of like peaceful... No one else. No one will ever walk in here. This is perfect.
And Dora the Explorer has a pooping song.
I love it.
Nice.
Everybody poops.
Yeah, no, Rick and Marty... I know they're getting shit on a lot because people are going, why are you making these into role models? It's like, well, I don't think anyone's making them into role models. What? They're laughing at people making terrible fucking choices.
Well, I was not going to watch this next season until I read, because I caught up on them and I enjoyed a lot of aspects of it, but... I read somewhere someone saying, like, it's really cool that they're making it absolutely clear in this season that Rick isn't someone to copy.
No.
He's just completely fucked up.
They're really hammering it
home this time. And it's like, oh, I'm going to have to check this out now.
Yeah, it's good. I like this season more than the other one so far because...
I have nothing to compare it to, but I thought The Pooping Place was genius. That's all I know. Because Dan watches them and I have no choice and I'm like...
Yeah.
Okay, this is actually really funny, but I don't know what's going on the rest of the time.
I kept on having people like forcing like YouTube videos of Pickle Rick on me, and I'm like, I fucking hate this. This is terrible. Why do you like this? And then I got Adult Swim on the cable package here. So I'm like, oh, well, what the hell? I'll watch it kind of thing. And it was one where it was like a citadel of Ricks. And and it's suddenly like they're rebelling against themselves and treating each other terribly and like just total anarchy. And like the original Rick's going, yeah, you don't want to go there. It is a clusterfuck. And I'm like going, I think I love the show. Like that's the one that turned it around for me. It's like, whereas the Mortys are having an uprising against the Ricks. I'm like, yes, they should.
No.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, I brought that up. No. onwards.
Yes. That's it for the three TV Netflix thingies.
Yeah, The Crown for me was interesting. I found it a little bit more uneven than it was the last two. And I thought Coleman, her queen, like she's got the look nailed. Mm. It took her a bunch of episodes to settle in for me. Like mm-hmm. I didn't feel like she had the character dialed in. And the episodes that I enjoyed, I really quite enjoyed. And Anne was the standout for me.
Anne. Oh, my God.
Oh, Anne was... And you know...
the scene where she walks up and gives Charles a peck on the cheek and then punches him in the gut as hard as she could.
Oh, it's like... I'm really curious about Anne now based on... And they kind of like... They teased us and then there was like shit that happened in that time frame that they didn't talk... There was a kidnapping attempt on her.
Mm-hmm.
In the time frame of the thing, and there was nothing in The Crown about that. Like that seems pretty significant. And
a shitload of stuff. And they only focus really one episode on those two kids, and they haven't even gotten. I'm hoping next season they get into Edward and Andrew.
I'm really curious to see where they're going. Yeah, I thought it was going to be all focused on the Queen, but they expanded it out, and I'm not sure that they didn't take on more. than they should have by expanding it out. Okay. Because then you start making these decisions like significant things that happen to the other character. And we're talking in historical, like her marriage also to Mark Phillips. And she was the first royal to get divorced at that level, right? So there's a bunch of history in there that arguably belonged in there as at least a couple lines. Like, I mean, I can understand not devoting a whole bunch to.
Yeah.
But when her kidnapper, who was mentally ill, unfortunately, is like standing in front of her car with two guns, he's like, "Get out of the car." And she's like, "Not likely." Or it's something
Anne
like
was
that.
Badass.
Like, yeah, that's.
Apparently, out of all the children, like the four kids kind of thing, Anne is Philip's child. For the love of God, she is Philip's child.
And she actually says that in the movie or in the show at one point.
Yeah.
When
yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, you speak your mind. It's like,
yeah. I got it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, she is fearless and fucking opinionated and like
she deserves a movie of her own.
Yeah, she was downplayed a bit. Like, let's just focus on her fashion and let's not talk directly to Anne because Anne will rip us a new hole. Anne suffers fools very, very. Yeah, no, very much like her
so,
father.
Anyway, I
good sound bites.
Overall, I enjoyed the series. It's. Like I said, not quite as entertaining as the first two, but definitely I'm glad I watched it. Jack Ryan season 2 on Amazon.
I need to watch the show. I saw some trailers for the second season. I'm like, okay, I really need to make an effort to watch this show.
I don't know. Like, I enjoy it, but it's hard for me to recommend it. It's aww. Just not the storytelling is really letting the cast down. Like, the cast is great.
Yeah.
The cast is really great. And the material, I think they're doing a really good job of making the material contemporary, but the storytelling just left me cold in a couple places. The Dragon Prince season 3 on Netflix, animated series. I just kind of love this whole thing. They're dealing with some fairly serious issues, which is great. In still keeping it kind of light and moving along. And it's not done by famous voices, but whoever is doing the voice for the badass moon fairy who's in like the main character set, it's got this Scottish brogue that I just I can't get enough listening to her. It is so wonderful. But the overall story is like really good. Titan season 2 just wrapped up. Again, like great actors, great presence, some great starting material, but Jesus Christ, this story runner can't tell a fucking I just
ouch.
The
tell
whole
us how you really feel, Dale.
Like I'm kind of like there's a couple of the characters that are really really good. Like I'm there to see what happens to them, and I followed the season to see how the story would go. And I didn't read the comics, so the whole Robin into Nightwing thing is something that is new to me, but the pacing of this season, like they focused on character by character and they just did a shitty job. And if somebody stopped watching it, I would totally understand. Like, I don't know how they could do such a crap job with such great material, but, ouch. Overall, like I said, I stuck with it. I watched like the season ending and I hope it gets a season 3. Cause I really love these characters. Raising Dion. I finished this last time. I didn't mention it, but I thought it was worth a mention. Apparently it's based on a comic. It's about, a single mom with a young boy and he develops superpowers and he's like basically kind of grade one kind of thing. And there's a whole lot into the story at that. It's really, charming. It's got some pacing problems. I found myself fast forwarding a little bit, but I was interested enough in the story. And some of the allegory in it that doesn't come out until the end is kind of amazing. Like, they touch on almost literally it comes out in the last episode. So if you can, you know, 9 episode lead up to, I forget how many are in there, to suddenly it's like, holy shit, they just whacked everyone in the head with white male privilege here and a little bit of Me Too. Like, wow, well done. And the boy is the characters are people of color, so... There's some of that playing into it. again, some of the pacing was a little bit off for me. That might vary if you're really into the material, but overall, I enjoyed that story. I'm not sure what I think of the Batwoman yet. I've been watching it. Another one where there's just a couple characters I love. Alice. The Alice character, like the actress is really good. I can just watch her all day the way she does this Alice character. Mm. And Ruby Rose as Batwoman has some great moments. But oh, okay. The story, I'm not super interested in the story. So I'm kind of hoping when they finish kind of the storyline, it'll get more interesting. I think overall, the concept is good. I'm interested. Watchmen, I didn't make it past the first episode.
I haven't seen it yet.
The whole style of it isn't catching me. All Rise, which is on regular broadcast television, it's kind of a formula legal show with Simone Missick from like Luke Cage. She played the cop.
Yeah, okay.
She plays a new judge. And was it Marg Helenberg from CSI was the last time I saw her, but I think she's done other stuff. Anyway, it is just, it's a straight up procedural, and I just love being able to have a show where I get, you know, a nice cute wrap up. And the secondary characters are really good. Like there's a public defender. Her character is eminently interesting. There's this court sheriff guard guy who's interesting. Her court clerk is hilarious, like this anal retentive
there's always
hard one. Ass yeah I don't know, it's the way I describe it makes it sound a little bit tropey, but I'm really enjoying it. It's not gonna win any awards, I don't think, but I could watch that stuff all day. The new Harley Quinn, I caught the first episode of that, the cartoon. Man, so many F-bombs in an animated show, but I'm kind of liking it so far.
So where is this? Is this on one of the streaming services?
Oh, I can't remember where it's on.
Is it on the DC one? DC has a streaming thing.
Who doesn't?
I can't remember
who
where it's on.
Okay, I was just curious.
It's looking fun, though. And finally, His Dark Materials on HBO.
Yeah, I haven't seen that anywhere yet.
It's stylistically, it's just like the Dark Magic Compass?
The Golden Compass.
Golden Compass. It's got the same kind of aesthetic as the Golden Compass. Mm-hmm. It started off a bit slow for me, but it's been picking up.
Oh,
I'm finding it interesting.
Hopefully it'll handle the material better than the movie did.
It's starting to actually kind of get fun. The first couple episodes I found were a little flat, even though they should have been more interesting. But now that they're on their journey, it's gotten a lot more interesting.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
And that's it for me.
I watched the final season of The Affair. I'm not sure why I watched the final season of The Affair, because it's not good.
Which one's that?
That's the one. This is season 5 now. First season was basically a show about two people that are having an affair and how their affair affects their families, respectively. And then I didn't think it could kind of go on beyond that, but they've managed to find ways to make it really interesting. And one of the key things about that show from the get-go was that you'd see the storyline, sometimes the same story told from the two different perspectives. And it was always really interesting to see how, you know, he would see it and she would see it differently, even though it's the same exact thing happening. And that's something that kind of carried on to some of the other seasons. But as the show progressed, it also became more, because the characters started to, you know, they each had, after the first season, they split, and then but you've already been introduced to the character, so they started following the side stories of these characters who still managed to be interconnected. And it's become less interesting in the later seasons. Like season 3 and 4 weren't nearly as good as the first two. With the fifth one, they added Anna Paquin as the daughter of one of the characters. And I'm like, well, how the fuck are they going to do that? And there's no way. Like, Anna Paquin is the same age as all of them. So they fast forward in the future, like to like 50 years or something stupid. And it just doesn't work. Like, the whole thing is just a mess. it's just not that interesting. And one of the things that they're trying to get at is the passing of trauma from like generational trauma. And it's an interesting concept, but the way they explore it just doesn't work. And it's just awkward. It was just weird. I didn't like it. I thought it was terrible. It was not the way to end that great show. And the only other thing we've been watching is The Mandalorian, which is good.
I saw pictures of Baby Yoda. He looks
great. Great Jawas.
You know, considering like I am not a Star Wars connoisseur, I couldn't tell you which Star Wars is what. Like I know the basics. You tell me Jawa, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about. So that's how much I know about Star Wars. Wow, okay?
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm clueless. So, I mean, I watch it and I have very little interest. To me, it's whatever.
Jawas are the midgets in cultist robes. They usually are building shit.
Okay, they're the ones that are usually like brown.
Scavenging shit.
Yeah, they're usually dark, usually brown robes kind of thing, but they have black, hairy sort of like skin.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, underneath the robes.
Okay, okay, sure. all I can tell you is I am really, really liking the show. To the point where I said, Dan, this mythology is really interesting. I'd want to know more about the Mandalorians. But there's that. And it's just, it's really fun. Like, it's dark and... the episodes are only like 26 minutes long, which is weird because I'm like, I actually want longer shows, but okay, whatever. It's good.
Wasn't the first one they had Werner Herzog in it too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn straight. I need to BitTorrent that.
He's in the first two episodes, I think. And he's great. And there's this amazing story that Dan told me because Baby Yoda, which by now everybody has seen.
Kevin.
Baby Yoda was, they were going to do it CG and apparently they had like an animatronic like Yoda figure that they used for the Werner Herzog scene.
Yeah.
And then they replaced it. Like at some point they took it out and like replaced it with something that they were going to replace with the CG version. And he basically called them all fucking morons and has no you guys have no balls. You need to do the animatronics. So they did.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it looks like it's the best thing about the show.
I wish there was a soundtrack for that.
There must be.
Oh yeah. In that German English.
Exactly. I just see Werner Herzog like losing his shit over the fact that they were placed.
I took a boat over a fucking cliff and you guys have no balls. I have
for you now. You are fucking idiots.
It's pretty funny.
I don't know.
But, I mean, the show is really interesting. Dan is like slowly backfilling me on story because like he's like, you realize, you know what's going on. And I'm like, I have no idea. You explain it to me.
Your
like,
formative years weren't here in North America between about 1977 and 1986, where pretty much all the 40-something and older people are like going,
exactly.
What do you mean you don't know Star Wars?
Exactly.
Rip out your
hair. I mean, I saw Star Wars in my late 20s, and it was just...
It's too late. You know, you haven't been programmed.
No, I saw Star Wars when I was that young kid, and I think it was really the cartoons that kept it alive that came afterwards that brought people back to the original movies. Like, I think it's more that
film I saw in a theater.
But nevertheless,
mine was FX.
I was four. My brother, that's all my brother wanted for like his birthday and Christmas was go see Star Wars. He was seven.
Yeah.
Mom dragged me along. I'm like, I can barely remember any of it, but I do.
I think it was like 12, something like that.
In the theater going, what the fuck?
So yeah, The Mandalorian is pretty good. Yeah. There's another show on Disney Plus called The Illumineers, which is a documentary about the group within Disney that makes the theme parks.
The Imagineers.
I think I read something about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Highly recommend it. I've seen the first two episodes. Very, very good.
My dad has had to deal with the Imagineers.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And the Fungineers.
You've told me this.
Yes.
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 And it's really a bunch fascinating.
Of Fungin idiots.
It's an interesting documentary. It's a documentary miniseries, I guess. It's quite good. And I do, for all the drama of Disney+, I am really enjoying Disney+. I've also seen a bunch of stuff on Apple+. I highly, highly, highly recommend C, which is the best thing I've seen on that on the streaming service.
Jason Momoa?
The Jason Momoa one, which is really dark and really brutal and super violent. Really good. And I've also really, really liked For All Mankind, the one about the space race, the alternate history space race that Ron Moore is doing. He did Outlander and did Battlestar. Which I really like. Somebody made an interesting comment because it's very accurate to the time because it's set in the 60s. And so, like, everybody's smoking all the time, but everybody has perfect teeth. And somebody I know couldn't get beyond that. And I'm like, I kind of didn't care, to be totally honest. The story is really interesting. It's an interesting take on alternate history. I'm assuming it might be based on a book. I don't know. But it's quite good. I'm really enjoying that. Highly recommend that as well. Morning Show, whatever. Not that good. That's my interest in Morning Show. Great cast. That's about it.
All right.
I got nothing else.
Books?
I don't have any.
Books? I have two. One is called King's Deception by Steve Barry. Yet again, another. I'm continuing on with the catalog. Yes. This one. The premise is there's a secret that Elizabeth Tudor sort of had, and like there's like the Tudor gold involved, but it also unveils the fact that Elizabeth was a man. She was the original princess died when she was like 13, 14, and they substituted Henry Fitzroy married. And like a 14-year-old, like he was 17 or something like that, married to 14. They weren't supposed to consummate until she was older. But Fitzroy, apparently, this is the story, knocked up, had a baby kind of thing. And I forget which family sort of like kept it as a secret. And then when Princess Elizabeth died, that was a way to get their family like closer to the throne. So they pretend. it is. And all I could think of, I still haven't finished it, but I'm thinking is like, so the one authoritative kick ass fucking queen in her own right
was a guy.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Wasn't there a Tilda Swinton movie along that line where she gender swapped into Elizabeth or something? Orlando.
Yeah. But, you know, well, Romeo and Juliet, like, it's supposed to be all male actors and then the female snuck in and pretend. Yeah. That won an Oscar. That I can see because, you know, women had to know their place. But this is the freaking Queen of England. Oh, no one noticed that you had an Adam's apple. Well, you wore rough the whole time. Oh, fuck mm-hmm. up. Pardon my language. Jesus. It
servants,
pissed me off.
It's servants like, talk.
Yeah. Anyways, and the other one was Japan in the Muromachi Age. If you like Japanese history, it's pretty good. I won't even try to attempt to say the names of the authors. So,
all right.
Yeah. And that's it for books for me.
I think I read more books this last little while than I have the whole last 2 years or something.
Ooh, awesome.
And I may have mentioned, there's a writer that I really enjoyed named Elizabeth Moon. So she started a series back in, I had to look it up, 1993. There's like 12 books in this. Anyway, it was.
Is it the Space Marines or?
Yeah, the Kai Vada.
Yeah.
Series. So I read the last two books, which I hadn't read, Cold Welcome and Into the Fire, where they sort of wrap it up, but it's interesting. It isn't as good as her previous stuff, but it was really cool finding those in the library, so I could kind of get all caught up on that. And that was a long running series.
I really like her fantasy. I can't get into her sci-fi. I just for whatever reason, Space Marine and things like that. Like I just. It doesn't interest me, but like the Deeds of Paxinarian, like
those are amazing.
She has some freaking awesome chops as a writer.
Her earlier stuff, yeah. Her Paladin, she wrote the first Paladin that I thought like this is what a Paladin is.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there is something outside of herself that is inspiring her. Yeah,
those that whole series. Yeah, I still see that as her best work.
I just gave myself goosebumps thinking about it.
That is something at the speed of dark. She wrote one about her protagonist is autistic.
Oh, really?
And it's from his perspective. It's really good. It's I don't know how accurate it is to the autistic experience, but in terms of like putting you into a different place.
What was the name? Something. The speed of
something. I forget what it's at. Like at speed of dark or something
speed
like
that. Speed of dark. Okay, I'll look.
I think that's called. I will look it up so we can put it into the show notes.
Oh, good.
Another Jack Reacher novel, Die Trying, by Lee Childs. This is going to be a thing. That's the second one. I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's very much in the time it was written. So.
My dad really likes this franchise too.
So, keeping on with that, I don't know if I mentioned the first Magician's book, but now I've read the first two of the series, Magicians and the Magician King. The thing that struck me, I had to go back and watch some of the original Magicians TV show. The TV show, I think, is kind of a masterclass at how to adopt a novel series. Having read the novel and watching the first season again, the nods in the novels to the novel was like some of them were so well done. And just like for the people that had read the novel, it's there. Otherwise, they were getting on with the story. And the way that they adapted some of the different aspects of the story, that they do some big divergences, but it still feels like it's still true in that world.
It sounds a little bit like... the witches one. Crap. I can't remember now.
Discovery of Witches?
Discovery of Witches. Yeah, which apparently is a step away from the books as well, but in better than the books in that respect, because apparently the books are not that great.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, that was the Blade Runner, the movie. Like having read the book, it was how did you get such a great movie out of that book?
Yeah.
You know what? As much as I like Philip K. Dick kind of thing, like I like the ideas, but not necessarily the execution of those ideas.
And I think some of the adaptations that really work are...
Yeah.
Like I think that they're...
They find the core of the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what's interesting. It's the concepts that are interesting and not so much
the ideas,
storytelling.
Not the execution.
Exactly. Yeah. At least of the few that I've read that I've really liked the movie versions, it's the same thing.
So I actually, Lev Grossman, it's funny. Like I couldn't say like, oh, the writing was amazing, but I couldn't stop turning the pages. So
there's something compelling.
I found it kind of a interesting read. The story didn't have some of the like the huge, maybe I've just haven't read enough books lately, but it didn't have the huge build up to the grand finale. It was a little bit more almost sedate than that. But I still found it a compelling read. And the last one is actually nonfiction, and I did a lot of skimming in this. It's called Invisible Women: Data Bias in a World Designed for Men by Carolyn Criado Perez, I think. She's a professor. It's written very factual, so it's dry. So sometimes the material is so interesting on its own that it's super interesting. And then other times she's just giving you this data dump of facts and you're kind of like, I get the point. And this isn't as kind of story-ish. So it is a really fascinating read. Like this, the one that I think got a lot of press was the first chapter in the book when she talked about snow clearing and how like, oh, there's no gender bias in snow clearing. Well, it kind of is, because in this place in Sweden where apparently one of the politicians like made that statement. Sweden started a committee to look into gender bias, and this politician was deriding it. It's like, oh, are you going to check snow clearing? Like, is there gender bias? And so they kind of went,
is there?
Let's check that out. And a whole bunch of interesting facts on how women were far largely more impacted by the sidewalks being cleared after the roads because of the way that they did their trips. They did a lot of trip chaining. they also did a lot of on the sidewalk kind of stuff.
Hmm. Interesting.
And they found that on the roads for the commuting, if they did this, I forget exactly, the whole story is in there, but if they did the sidewalks first, they actually started saving on medical costs because there was a lot more injuries. And the women who were doing these transit and the sidewalk stuff were more productive, even though like they weren't the bread earners. And the men commuting to work in their cars, like they commuted like literally in the morning, and they were far less impacted driving in the car with the mm-hmm. snow on the road.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you probably didn't leave your place of employment for 8 hours. Exactly. And you're on the road for 40 minutes kind of thing.
Exactly.
And then you're done, whereas the missus is in a boat all day long.
I mean, primarily women, like the, but basically the people that were not in a traditional job.
Yeah.
That, so anyway, there's, it's filled with all kinds of examples of that. Some scary things about medical testing and mostly testing on men, like the crash testing in the cars. So it is a really.
Drug testing.
Yeah.
We can't do it on women because they might get pregnant. Well, so they'll skew everything. So no testing on women.
Oh, just all kinds of. I mean, I think if I was a woman, I might actually be furious reading this book.
There's no point because you'd be freaking apoplectic every minute of every day, Dale.
Pretty much.
I'm really glad that she went to the trouble to do the work. I kind of wish
it was a more interesting read.
Yeah. Because like I said, I got to the point where it's like I just couldn't read the whole thing through. So I was like skipping around. Mm. But that's it for me.
Podcasts.
I have two. I've talked about Extremities a couple times. They're such short little seasons that they come back really fast. So Extremities season 3 is out, and this time it is Saint Helena. The first one it was Pitcairn Island. Second season was Svalbard, which makes me totally want to go to Svalbard. Also, I can like fly there like within a day, which is super nice. Unlike all these other places, it's super remote, but there's an active 4 flights of commercial airliners a day go to Svalbard. So I'm like, really? How is that possible? It is a functioning city. It's the highest functioning city in the world. And that was last season. This one is about St. Helena, a tiny little island. It's almost the most remote you can be from any other place on the planet around you. Like, it is a dot. Like, the next closest thing, I think, might be Tristan da Cunha, which is insanely remote, and that is your most
closest. You really are in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So, it is pretty good. And the other one, it's only got the first 2 episodes out, but it is a local person called Torrin Atkinson. He has a podcast called Torrin's Guide to Everything. Like, was it Fecal Knives is an episode? Okay. Like, just really weird-ass things that come up. And he is the singer for Dark as the Hillside Thickets. He is an animator at local animation studio, does lots of voiceover work, was the only guy on Stargate ever, like a soldier ever allowed to have a beard in one episode. That's his claim to fame. So he has his own podcast now. He used to have the Caustic Soda podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he is back with his Torrin's Guide to Everything. So
nice.
Yep, so support local people spouting off about weird things. I can do this, yes.
Dale?
No podcast for me.
I don't have a new one, but I want to reiterate how amazing Throughline is, which is an NPR podcast, of course, because I'm obsessed. They usually cover like a topic from like a historical perspective and bring it up to modern day. One of the most interesting episodes of late was one on conspiracy theories and how the United States was basically founded on conspiracy theories.
Oh no.
It's fascinating.
Is this the Masons?
That might explain a lot.
Well, it's really interesting. So it's a really great podcast. The episodes are, you know, generally 40 minutes long. Super, super fascinating.
What's the podcast name?
It's called Throughline.
Throughline.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's all I got. And of course, if you're not listening to Dolly Parton,
then man,
good podcast,
great podcast.
I was less interested in some of the, well, as of now, I guess it would have been somewhere around 3 or 4. Got a little bit less interesting, and then it came right back with a vengeance
with to be Jolene,
super interesting.
The episode. Yeah.
The Jolene episode was amazing.
Yeah, I wrote a fourth verse. You what?
That fourth verse.
Do you want us to try and get it to Dolly Parton? Could you get it to Dolly Parton? That'd be great.
Oh, man. And that is.
And her reaction was priceless. Was
like, this is it.
So this, they're together at the end, and it, that's clever.
Yeah, she's so
I didn't think of that. I could see that.
I love Dolly.
Way to go, Dolly.
Anything else, guys?
I just confirmed. The book is called The Speed of Dark.
Speed of Dark. Okay. All right. Cool. Speed of Dark. I guess we'll write down the notes. I think I'm done for my media spew.
Ditto.
Me too.
We'll link to everything we talked about in the show notes, so come on by atcpod.ca. I doubt we'll be back before the end of the year. Oh, I guess we'll be back with the January preview, right? Will that be before the end of the year?
I have one other thing. I wrote it on my back of the sheet, so I forgot about it. There's a thing on the internet, if you guys haven't seen yet, worth finding.
Anything that starts where there's a thing on the internet.
Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart reenact the pottery scene from Ghost.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
Oh, Lord is right.
It is a thing of fucking...
I have to watch that now. I love Snoop Dogg. He's hilarious. His Instagram, for people that don't follow his Instagram, it's genius.
They're doing a show together, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they do. They have a show together.
I'm not a big Martha Stewart fan, but when you basically put her in contacts with Snoop Dogg, it makes so much sense.
Like, seriously, it totally works. It totally works. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But so come on by atcpod.ca. We'll be back probably before the new year, maybe right after the new year. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll keep you posted. Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Fast life. Knoxville, let's go. You can never keep up with a killer villain, dealing, still appealing. Coming back once with a venom villain. Ain't no healing with a rifle bite. Sisters, bait, no, this ain't right. Take shots at me, you short and light. The fortune teller, bitch, I got you in my sight. Oh, daily commentation. When I step up in the booth, my weapon, say your condemnation. There's no need for contemplation. Hey, ask me, say the world. I'd rather take vacation. Chilling with a model, sipping bottles. Her body shaped like a bottle. Those sips leading, I just follow. I lately oxen free, put me in a box. Saying how they keep it silence me, cause I am me. There is a beast inside of me, bitch. You gon' need to find his V. You better swerve or find your knees, pray. Grind with this, I grind these hits like coffee grounds and serve them fresh with every sound. So ride with this, we hit him up. Take your shots if you ain't married, we don't miss. We on a black horse, ride that whip, we make it hot. So pour that crisp, we get it lit. Mission is impossible, we do what is improbable. We swerving through our obstacles. You think that this special effects? No body vest, no sunsuit dress. Don't second guess who is up next. We pass your test, LS arrest. You crash, you last, you left. Peace. I've been on that road. Tell me play the fear. Yeah, but they can never do. Yeah, I'm rolling with no wind. You know it like it fast. Ay, yeah, yeah. You know it like it fast. Ay, yeah. You know it like it fast. Ay, yeah, yeah. You know it like it fast. Ay, yeah, yeah. We cross lines, I gotta stay. They tell us to slow down, better pull that parking brake. Need a fast car, driving like it's NASCAR. I think I need a crash bar, look at me, a rap star. Tell mama I made it out, it's funny now that I got clout. But still some doubt, I think about it, what would I be if I had listened back? My wind, I'll cue that mission, on that Hobson show we driven. Bitch, that is that high precision, check that German engineering. I got vision, they ain't listen, they ain't feel it, they ain't gifted. They ain't see what I see, Santa Claus, they ain't believe it. Put a red dot on your nose like it's Rudolph. Going on, bitch, I'm going off, I'm no dancer. Take advantage in the back, I wave my hammer. Colder than an North Pole, flow froze. Oh no, runny nose, I got blows. I got blow, get you buzzing, motherfucking. No baking soda, my shit's raw. Put it on that Hobbs, I'm going show. Up and down like a seesaw, if I see you, I'm going south. Cut it out, put me on, they don't want it. Dog, I flaunt it, that Uzi mumble. Over your head like a noose, I body bag the truth. All they sell lies, I shot for you. Put your hands up, we robbing you. Yeah.
Don't mess with me, Lois. Stay up in your lane. Clark Kent when I step up in this booth and shit.